KMMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome into Fire It Up with CJ, live on CBS Sky Radio. You can find CJ at her website, fireitupwithcj.com. And I hope everyone's having a great June. It's going by really fast. This month is all about exploring what it takes to live in a balance and harmony, even with our own judgments of others. And I want to welcome CJ to New Sky Radio.
Hey, thank you, Cassandra. I know it's June is happening so quickly. I can't believe I just looked at the day, June 20th.
I know.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
I know. The kids are out of school, and the parents are already counting down the days till school starts again.
That's so true. Sad, but true. All right. Well, we have quite a show today. Gosh, I don't even know what to say about this show. I've had all sorts of mixed reactions. I started off with just feeling angry. Sorry, Chuck. Our guest, Chuck Gallagher, is with us today. He's talking about business ethics. And what it made me recount was not so long ago. Actually, it was pretty long ago, 5 years ago, we went through a huge financial crisis as a result of the mortgage industry, the investment banking, a whole bunch of different things hit rock bottom, and we fell with it. And I think during, you know, what happened afterwards is that there is the whole 1%, you know, that kind of whole movement, and because people were angry. They're angry at the greed and the lapses in ethics. And I think a lot of us went to a place, myself included, into a place of judgment. And gosh, look at those people who made those kind of decisions. How could they? Look what they've done to me. In a way in which we were somehow immune to greed. The funny thing is none of us are immune to greed or any of the other things that came about during that time period. And today our guest, Chuck Gallagher, went from wearing a business suit to an orange jumpsuit and in jail for a decision that he made. And so now he talks about to businesses about ethics and integrity. So we're in a first. What I wanted to do in this first segment is ask all those questions that I think all of us have wondered about when people make those kind of decisions, including ourselves. So I think that when we listen to Chuck, I think it's important to not only tune into what happened to him to understand, but then also see that that nature is with all of us. So welcome, Chuck.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so tell us about your story. How did you end up in an orange jumpsuit? So unflattering, that color orange.
Well, I will be the first to say it never was intended. And yet, today, when I talk to people around the country, I find similar stories popping up, and you're right. It doesn't always mean prison with bars. We can be imprisoned by many things in our lives. But very few people start off with that as an intent. In my case, I was back in the 80s, and I'm going to go back a number of years. But back in the 80s, I was a CPA. I was tax partner in a firm. I had testified before Congress on various aspects of the tax law, written articles in national magazines, and was teaching continuing professional education to CPAs in 30 different states. That was the good side of a career for me when I was in my late 20s, approaching age 30. The bad side, the dark side, was how do I put this? I guess it's like a lot of people, and you mentioned this in the opening, I was overextended and underfunded. I had way too much debt. Mm-hmm. And so the circumstance was such that instead of resolving the debt issue and doing the responsible thing, I ended up falling or succumbing to temptation and creating what is now known probably by most of your listeners as a Ponzi scheme, the thing that, mm-hmm. that took Bernie Madoff down. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was called at the time. To me, it was something entirely different. But the reality is every choice we make in life has a consequence. Mm-hmm. And so even though I did a lot of really very positive things, those negative things that I did, the unethical things, the illegal things that I did, created for me the consequence of leaving that career and the business suit and ultimately losing that all, walking into federal prison on October 2nd, 1995, and becoming 11-642-058, or an inmate in federal prison.
Mm. So you always wonder, and I always wonder, what did you think? You weren't going to get caught? I mean, what was running through your head at that time?
Well, you know, the best way to put this, CJ, is everything, when I say everything, most of the time, I'm going to say 99% of the time, when someone ends up like myself and many others, the reality of it is it never starts off with the intent of being wrong or bad. I didn't walk out one day thinking, I am just going to embezzle money from people. That would be ludicrous. That would make no sense. So it really was a very simple process for me. I was behind in my house payment. A lot of people in 2008, 2009, and even into 2010 found themselves in situations like that. But I was behind in my house payment. And so as a tax partner in a CPA firm, well, the challenge was, how was I going to make that up? Mm-hmm. I knew that if I had just a little more time, it wouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. But in the short run, instead of doing the ethical thing, I did the unethical thing and stole money from a client's trust fund. And, of course, they had no knowledge of that. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I decided I'm going to put quotes around this for our radio listeners, borrow the money, because borrowing is an okay thing to do. Stealing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, what I did, let's call it what it is. I stole money. Mm-hmm. Because borrowing means the lender knows that it's taking place. Stealing means that the victim does not know. So I stole money, but in my mind, I called it borrowing, and I paid it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that act was an act of understanding rationalization. And in the humanness that we all experience, if I can rationalize my behavior, I can sleep at night. Mm-hmm. And then in answer to your question, seems like a long way to get to it, no, I didn't think I would be caught because I wasn't in my mind doing anything wrong.
Right, because your intention was to borrow money so your intention came out of, I want to honor my responsibilities, which is to pay back the bank. And you knew you were going to pay back, so in a lot of ways what you're thinking is, I'm just intending to pay back, but I just need a loan. And so this is the easiest way. Or what was your intention? If not to steal, I know that wasn't that. What was your intention then?
No, the intention very much was just what you described. I mean, to really put it bluntly, wow, I'm behind in my house payment. That's not good. Gosh, I'm tax partner in a CPA firm. Well, if I go to the bank and tell them the truth, gosh, I can't manage my own money.
Uh-huh.
Then the reality is, well, they probably won't send me any clients. That's not a good idea.
Mm.
I could have gone to my mother and said, hey, Mom, I need a short-term loan, but I didn't feel like doing that at the time for whatever reason. And now at age 56, I couldn't tell you why. It makes perfect sense today. Didn't at the time.
Yeah.
So the thing that made sense was that I would satisfy my need with the opportunity that I had as a CPA, because I was trustee of a trust, of a client's trust. So I would satisfy the need with the opportunity and rationalize that I was only borrowing money. And if I can connect those three dots, and you'll see this repeating pattern over and over again, but if I can connect need with opportunity and rationalize my behavior, our minds allow us to take what is unethical, illegal, wrong, and we know better, and convert it to something that can be palatable.
You know what's so funny? I was preparing for the show, and I thought, okay, you are not above any of this, right? You know, here's my unethical deed. And my husband and I argue about this, and I would say that I've fallen into the need, the opportunity, and rationalization. There is a carpool lane on the highway, but people are meant to go on that carpool lane, and you can get there faster. But I'm figuring, if I go out to the exit, can I use a carpool lane? Because I'm going on that exit. But that's not really what the intention is. The intention is for people to come on to the ramp. But I talk to my husband, I'm like, I'm helping moving traffic. Because all these other people want to stay here, I'm actually helping the cause. And he's like, yeah, but that's not really what the rules are intended for. I'm like, I know, but that's just because people aren't realizing that there's another way. it's the need for me for speed, the opportunity to do it, and knowing that I don't think I'm going to get caught here. And I actually have a story that says, actually, I'm exiting. So I'm not cutting in front of, I'm not going into the carpool lane. I'm going to the exit. So I have a good, plausible story. And that's when the rationalization happens. So I think it happens to all of us, right?
It does. And the funny part, and I don't mean necessarily ha-ha funny, but the odd part for us in our human experience is I'll have lots of people, and I love the introduction saying, well, you know, I was kind of angry. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I come on as a guest, and people are like, you know, this guy is a thief. And you never know on radio what you're going to experience on the other side with the interview. And yet the reality is when we start thinking about it, how simple is it for people in everyday life to rationalize our behavior?
Mm-hmm.
The funny part is I had one radio host who said to me, how do we stop this? And I made a simple comment. I said, well, do you have children? And she said, yes. And I said, have you ever had the call come in and the child answers the phone and you say, shh, tell them mommy's not here?
Yes.
And she just breaks up laughing. And I'm like, we're teaching our children that if we don't want to take a call, instead of being truthful, we will rationalize it by a lie.
Yeah. No one is honest. If you are purely honest with yourself, you realize that, like how I started off the show, no one is above this. Do you know what I mean? It's just, what is the rationalization you tell yourself, and where do you draw the line?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's was that what you, when you were talking about the repeating pattern, is this, this need, opportunity, and rationalization, is that the pattern that
need, opportunity,
right?
And rationalization is a repeating pattern. I was doing a program out west, in fact, and I always try to look at examples that fall outside of just prison, because a lot of people who are listening on the radio think, well, you know, I would never do anything that would send me to prison, and that's probably true. But I used a simple example with a guy, and I used a guy because I am one. And so let's play the example. You know, man's been married for 15 years. The spark just doesn't exist like it used to exist. And it's frustrating. And there's the day-to-day living that people have to go through. And he's just not feeling the love, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes out to California to a conference. And he's sitting there at March Madness watching the basketball game in the hotel bar, and this nice young lady sits up beside him, and they strike up a conversation, and she takes interest. Well, what's his need? His need is he wants to feel loved. What's the opportunity? He's out in California sitting at a hotel bar, and she lays down one of the keys, and she says, my room is 406 if you'd like to come up for a nightcap. And he does. And the rationalization would be, well, you know, it's just not like it used to be. And after all, you know, who's going to know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next thing you know, that simple choice has a profound consequence that in this case, he came up to me. I was making the example up. And this guy comes up to me and he says, who told you about my circumstance? I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. He said, no, who told you about my circumstance?
Oh,
and I said, no one. He said, I'm living that experience right now. And so it's a simple experience of need, opportunity, and rationalization. But if every choice we make has a consequence, then if you do something stupid like that, you're going to experience a pretty negative consequence that eventually will come from it. The only problem is, as human beings, we don't know when and how the consequence will play out.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Chuck Gallagher, author of Second Chances, Transforming Adversity into Opportunity. And next we're going to be talking about when Chuck hit his lowest low and how each of us probably have had moments in our life when we hit our lowest low and how you turn it around. So we're going to be right back, folks. Make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com to get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and coaching tips. We'll be right back.